Paul has started his closing remarks. This is the last section of his letter. He's writing to the Christians at Rome, the church in Rome. He did not found that church. He was not their pastor, but he is an apostle called by God. And so he's writing to them. Today, my heart is overflowing with God's word. I think he's going to bless us today. I know he will. And I pray that you and I will see the vision that is being communicated here in this passage. So if you would, let's read together God's word. We're going to overlap a little bit with what we read last week and set up again. We're going to look at it from just a different angle this morning. But read with me Romans 15. We'll start in halfway through verse 15. Romans 15, 15. Paul says, because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. Gentiles is the nations, the people groups, not the Jews, not Israel, but all the nations. Paul said that God had given him grace to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Paul writes, in Christ Jesus then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. Look at these words, verse 20. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, he quotes from Old Testament Isaiah, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. This is the reason why I have often been hindered from coming to you, he writes. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I've longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. That is the holy, inspired word of God. Today, we are using Paul's word there that he uses in verse 20. He makes it his ambition to preach the gospel where Christ has not been named. We're going to talk today about gospel ambition. Ambition means a goal that you aspire to. Ambition kind of carries the feeling of a passion that you have. I asked you last week, what is the great passion of your life? What gets you out of bed in the morning? What drives you? What is your purpose? Paul, in these words today, he's getting personal and his heart is on full display. This is one of those passages, I love this. Sometimes these ancient writers can seem so distant from us. Here, Paul is letting his heart shine through. And we're getting to know this God-called man. This man that God used to bring the gospel even to Europe, even to places where some of our ancestors heard the gospel and brought it to us. What drove that man? What drove him was a gospel ambition. And so look with me first at Paul's heart in this text. Paul's heartbeat, his passion, his gospel ambition on full display. And we see it in his calling. We see it in his ambition. And we see it in his work for the gospel. Let's look first at Paul's gospel calling. Last week we saw in these verses how Paul describes his own special calling as a minister of the gospel. He's explaining to the Roman church why he, a man who did not found their church and has never been their pastor, how can he have the audacity to write this big long letter to them and teach them and even correct them and call them out for their sins? Who gave Paul the authority to write to the churches? And so he's explaining that he has been called by God Himself. Paul didn't take this authority on himself. He was called by God. You can read about it in Acts chapter 9. He was a hater of the church. He was traveling to another city to arrest some Christians and put them in jail. And Jesus appeared to him. The light of His glory was so bright that it blinded Paul. Changed his heart forever. He said, I'm called by God. I've been given this grace from God. He uses that phrase in verse 15. I've been given this grace to be a minister of Christ to the Gentiles. So Paul was a specialist. He was called, yeah, to preach to everybody, but he was going to focus on the nations out there, the far corners of the earth. He was a trailblazing pioneer. Charles Cranfield words it that way. He was to boldly go where no apostle had gone before, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. This was his calling by God. Now, if you're familiar with your Bible, you may know that Peter the apostle, not Paul, but Peter was called to be an apostle to the Jews. Peter focused his ministry, even though God used him with some Gentiles, he focused his ministry as kind of this leading apostle to the Jewish nation. Galatians 2 verse 7 and 8 tells us that. But that Paul had been called to go up away from the Jews, even though he was a Jew, he was sent out by God to go reach people with different skin colors and different cultures and different languages. Paul was sent out to the nations. This pioneer spirit in him to reach the unreached peoples for God's glory. It sums up the heartbeat of that man's life. That's what we see going on in this text today. He says, just like these Old Testament priests would offer a lamb to God, he is offering the nations to God as an acceptable sacrifice. So that is his calling, but I want to move next to his gospel ambition. Paul not only had a call from God, listen to me, that calling from God got down into his heart. That doesn't always happen. Maybe some of you listening today, you're aware that God has a purpose for our lives. But maybe that sense of purpose from God, yeah, you could say it, you know it's true, but it hasn't bled down into your heart. You could pass a Bible test or a theology quiz. If someone asked you, what is the meaning of life, you could give the Bible answer. We are made by God to live for His glory and to enjoy Him forever through Jesus Christ. You can know that God has called every Christian to be a witness with the gospel, but maybe that calling has not eaten you up yet, like it had Paul. When we read this text, this is at the end of his letter, guys. He's signing off. But do you see that as he's giving his travel plans to this church, his heart is in it. Do you see the ambition here? It's driving this man and all he does. You know, it's one thing to believe that we exist for the glory of God and the gospel, but it's quite another thing to be captivated by the beauty and majesty of that calling. You know, some of you guys may feel like God has called you to do some special thing. Maybe throughout your whole life you felt this sense of calling from God, but maybe you're not excited about it. Maybe you've become distracted by other things. Maybe you're giving your breaths to something other than the glory of God. Maybe you're pouring out your days for something less than the call of God. Can I just encourage you this morning? Why would you give your precious days and breaths to something other than the call of God Almighty on your life. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. What are you living for? We're all giving our life to something. When we stand before God in a very short time, when we pass away and stand to give an accounting of our life to the one who created us to live for His glory, what will He think about what you spent your life for? What I spent my breath for? Look at Paul this morning in this text. He was not only called by God, but it excited him. He focused on it. What are you focusing on? Paul set his heart on the things of God. It ate him up. Do you see that in this text? He can't stop talking about the gospel. He even, in verse 20, he uses this word ambition. I make it my ambition. I make it my drive. Maybe you had an ambition once. Have you lost it? Hey, can you think of a better day than today to get it back? Maybe you're young and you don't, you know, you haven't maybe thought a lot about what you're going to pour your life out for. Perhaps God brought you here to this message today to show you what your purpose is. There's no higher purpose than to live for the glory of God. A life that is poured out for God and His glory is a life not wasted. Maybe you're older and you feel like you've wasted it. It's too late, preacher, for me. Can I just tell you this morning, it is never too late to repent. It is never too late to stop wasting your life. Yeah, you may just have a week of life left. Man, give that week to the Lord. God can do through us in one day more than what we could do in 100 years of trying and striving. I mean, if He created the universe with His Word, what can He do with the remaining years of your life? Hallelujah! It's never a waste to pour out our lives for God. He said that in Christ Jesus, I've got a reason to be proud of my work for God. Yes, that's His humble, Christ-centered pride in what God has called Him to do. But He then goes on in verses 20 to 21, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, as it is written, those who have never been told of Him will see. What does Paul mean? Paul sees himself as fulfilling this prophecy of Isaiah. In his life and ministry, people who had never heard of Jesus are hearing about Jesus. Paul has found what makes him come alive. He knows that his everyday actions have an eternally significant purpose for the glory of God. Have you found that? Are you still pouring yourself out for eternally meaningless things? In Christ, we understand why we were made. In serving Jesus and enjoying Him, we become fully alive. We can live like Paul with ambition. Yes, Paul had this inward vision for building up local churches, but he was driven by this outward vision to the nations. And that's what he's talking about in this text. You may not have the same calling as Paul the Apostle. Let me correct that. You don't have the same calling as Paul the Apostle. You're not an apostle. I'm not either. But you and I, as part of the church, we have the same ambition, we have the same goal as Paul, the glory of God in the nations. Not every one of us can move to China. Not every one of us can move to Zimbabwe. Not every one of us can be a missionary that goes out from our nation, but every one of us can serve God's purpose in the earth in the way He's equipped us and gifted us and called us. Amen? Some can go to the nations. Some can send others to the nations financially. All of us can pray. So we see Paul's gospel calling. We see that it got down into his heart as his ambition. But listen to me. In this text this morning, we also see that that call of God that got down into Paul's heart, it translated into action, man. He didn't just sit around talking about God's glory in the nations. He went to the nations. He wrote letters to the nations. He prayed for the nations. We see his gospel work in this text. You know what? It's not enough for us to understand some things about God. Once we come to believe in God, once we embrace Christ as our Savior, we got to get up and act on it. God did not just create you to come to gatherings of the church and to think on things. That's part of it. That's important. But that's got to get down in you and drive your actions. How do you live for the glory of God in your house, in your neighborhood, in your job, in your school? What action is God leading you to take? Man, you need to understand your call, and you need to have some ambition and passion for God in your heart. But then you got to get up, amen, and do something for the Lord. Serving God calls for faith-filled, passionate, sweaty, hard labor. How much do you sweat for the Lord? Paul is describing his work in this account here. Do you see in verse 19, he says, "From Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ." That doesn't mean he preached to every single person alive in that area. It means he planted churches in the strategic cities. That was his strategy, his calling. Now it's up to those churches to reach the villages and the cities beyond in that area. Paul was called to be a trailblazer. He's done in the East. And he's not hanging up his Bible just yet. Paul is writing to the Romans, and do you see how fired up he is to come visit them? Paul's ambition is driving him onward to the unreached peoples of the West. In Paul's day, he lived in the Roman Empire. And so Paul has already reached the East for Christ. And now, even though he's getting older, do you see that Paul is not ready to retire? He's ready to go west, young man, right? He's ready to go to Europe. He wants to go to Rome itself, the capital of the Roman Empire. He says, "I want to visit you guys in Rome." But then what? Look at verses 22 to 24. Paul writes, "This is the reason why I've so often been hindered from coming to you guys." Why? What's the reason? "I've been so busy preaching the gospel in the East that I couldn't come visit you." But then he says, "But now, since I no longer have any room for work in the East, these regions, and since I've longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you. Once I've enjoyed your company for a while." This is one of the reasons Paul is writing the letter to Rome. He's telling these Christians, "I'm coming to see you, God willing. And listen, I want to enjoy your company for a while and preach the gospel there to you." But Paul is being honest with them. Do you see what he says? "I'm not just coming to Rome to visit you Roman Christians. I want you to take up an offering for me." Paul is being honest. "I want you to financially support me so I can do what? Go to Spain." Why Spain? You know, this verse, and he mentioned Spain in a couple verses from here. This is the only mention of Spain in the whole Bible. Why bring it up here? Spain in Paul's day was the extreme westward part of the Roman world. So in Paul's mind, If I can get to Spain, I will have taken the gospel to the ends of the earth. In his day, man, Spain was the uttermost westward spot. And so, far from checking into a nursing home, far from going on vacation, Paul said, man, if you Romans will help me, I mean, that's why he's explained his gospel so clearly in the book of Romans. He wants them to see what gospel he preaches so they know he's legit, so they can help him financially go to Spain. It's driving him, this ambition, to go westward with the gospel. Do you see that in this man? I want to be like that. John Piper calls in his book, Don't Waste Your Life, he calls us, man, when we get to the age of retirement, to not stop serving the Lord. But when you get those years where you no longer have to check into a 9-to-5 job, that is prime time missions life right there, right? You are being set free from God to finish the race strong. Plant that little seed in you this morning. Some of you may be getting to that retirement age, or, you know, even if you're young and that's far off. What could God do through you in your retirement years for His glory? What could He do through you right now? Paul is being driven westward. This goes with what he wrote in the introduction to Romans. It's been a couple years. Let me take you back and remind you. Chapter 1. Paul started this whole letter saying, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. I'm set apart for the gospel. I exist for the gospel. He says, I'm under obligation both to Greeks and barbarians. This is the nations that nobody's been to yet. Both to the wise and the foolish. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Wow. That's Paul's heart. But this morning, let's move on from Paul for a minute. Where did Paul get this ambition? It did not originate with him. This passion for the glory of God and the nations, Paul didn't invent that, man. You know where Paul got it? Paul got this heart from God Himself. In other words, man, here's the secret to a life that is pleasing to God and satisfying to you. Find out what God is excited about, and you get excited about that too. Find out what God is doing, and you go do that with Him. Find out what God's heart is, and you make that your heart. God has a heart for His glory in the nations through the gospel. God has a heart for His glory in the ends of the earth through the gospel of Jesus. Paul got this gospel ambition from God Himself. I showed you last week, just here in the text, man, Paul uses the language of the Trinity. Did you see it when we were reading? He uses the names of God. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. We serve one God who eternally exists in three persons. Three persons, one God. But all three persons of the Godhead are fired up about this gospel. All three persons of the Godhead are passionate about the glory of God to the nations. And each of the persons of God have a different role. Did you know that? God the Father planned it all. God the Son did what? He was sent from the Father to earth. He took on flesh. He became a man. And He died on the cross for our sins. And He rose again. So the Father planned it. The Son accomplished it. What does the Spirit do? Well, the Holy Spirit has been sent from God to empower the church. The Holy Spirit takes that gospel message that we hear. He drives it into our heart. He makes us alive to God. And then He empowers us to go live for the glory of God. So the Father planned it and the Son accomplished it and the Spirit is carrying it out in the people's hearts. God is excited about His glory. Did you know that? Some people think God is only excited about us. Listen to me a minute. Some people think the only thing God loves is people. Yes, He loves people. That's why He sent Christ to die. But do you know there's a higher purpose to God than just people? Since God is perfect and holy, He is passionate about the display of His own glory in the earth even more than He is about just people. Now those purposes work together. God shows His glory by saving people. So we get saved and satisfied and He gets glorified and everybody's happy. That's the way it works. I want to show you a couple of verses from the Old Testament this morning that shows God's beating heart for His glory among the nations. And I can't think of a better one than Malachi 1:11. You say, Malachi, man, I wasn't expecting to hear from the prophet Malachi this morning. God is talking to Israel in this verse. Look what He says. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, from the east to the west, what? My name will be great among the nations. God said that. My name, He said, will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to My name and a pure offering. For My name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. Way back in the Old Testament, God was already excited that He was going to do more than just save Israel. Through Israel, He was going to branch out to the nations of the earth. Why? For what purpose? To glorify His name. That's why you were born. That's why people exist. To glorify our God and Creator. Now listen, you may disagree with that. That's fine. But you will never have peace with God until you surrender to God's purpose for you. He created you. You can fight against it all you want. You can look for purpose in other things. And there are good things in this world, gifts from God. But if you try to live for those gifts instead of the giver, you're never going to be doing what God wants you to do, and you're never going to be spiritually satisfied. God is worthy of our praise. God is worthy not just of our songs when we come to church. God is worthy of our lives poured out for His glory among the nations. Do you believe that? God is worthy. In another Old Testament place, in Habakkuk, I know you weren't expecting to hear the name Habakkuk come up in conversation today. Habakkuk 2:14, God prophesies and He says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea." Has that got down into your heart? That's what you can do, man. You're good at music, or you're good at, you know, language. You're good at math. You're good at fixing things. Whatever you're good at, do it for the glory of God. Do it for the advancement of the gospel in the nations. That's why you are alive. Find that purpose and do it with all your might for the glory of God. Get up every morning and surrender to Him. Here I am, Lord. I'm looking to You again. I thank You for Jesus saving me. Here's my body. Here's my job. Here's my purpose. Take it. Use me for Your glory, oh God. I mean, Jesus, when He taught us how to pray, what's the first prayer request Jesus taught us to pray? The Lord's Prayer. "Pray then like this," Jesus said. "Our Father in heaven," what? "Hallowed be Your name." That's not a statement, that's a prayer request. He's praying. He's teaching us to pray, "Father, glorify Your holy name." That word, "hallowed be Your name," My Bible has a little note that says that could also be translated, "Let your name be kept holy." Or, "Let your name be treated with reverence." In other words, what was the first thing on Jesus' mind when He wanted us to pray? You better glorify the name of the Father. Have you seen that the great purpose of God is His glory? That drove Paul. It drives God's heart. But listen, for this reason, because Paul's heart was an overflow of God's heart, this should also be the church's heart. Man, the example that we see from Paul, and I've just shown you briefly that he got this from God. If God is excited about His own glory through the gospel in the nations, and if Paul got that from God and he was excited about God's glory in the nations, shouldn't the church be excited about God's glory in the nations? Paul talks about, I want to go where Jesus' name is not yet named. I want to go where His name is not yet worshipped. That is the heartbeat and ambition of the church. We see this in the text in Romans 15. A few weeks ago we were here. Look in your Bible up at verse 9. First of all, verses 5 and 6. Paul prayed for the church, the ethnicities of the church at Rome, to come together as one. Look at verse 5 and 6. He prayed that the God of endurance and encouragement would grant them to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that what? Together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we are living in a day where there's a lot of talk about racism and ethnicities clashing. Our nation is being torn in this area. Racism is a great sin. And God calls us to love each other. But what is the purpose of the races coming together? It's greater than just, hey, be nice. Paul is writing to the church. They were made up of Jews and Gentiles. They were made up of different ethnic groups in one church. Paul said, may God grant you to live in unity together. For what purpose? That together with one voice you may glorify God. Did you see that? Why should the races come together in the church? Because God is pleased to get glory from a unified song of praise from a diverse church. God wants black Christians and white Christians and brown Christians and all the ethnic groups and the different languages to come together and sing praise together for the glory of God in the nations. This touches to the very purpose of God. In fact, if you've got your Bible open at Romans 15 there, from verses 9 through 11, Paul started quoting the Old Testament, all these prophecies about the Gentile nations singing and praising God with Israel. Look at it, verse 9. He says, quotes, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Verse 10, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. Verse 11, praise the Lord, all Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol Him. We sang that a few minutes ago from Psalm 117. God's heart is for the nations coming together around Jesus Christ crucified and raised, so that with one voice we will praise the Lord. In other words, listen to me. When you and I gather as the church, and we come from our diverse backgrounds, and we come together as one people, hearts unified around Jesus, and we lift our voice and we sing to God, we are fulfilling the purpose of God for the universe. The glory of His name being sung by the nations. Isn't that awesome? And we're getting a little taste of heaven. Look what, do you remember what John the Apostle saw when God gave him a vision of heaven in the book of Revelation? What did he see in heaven? He saw nations coming around the throne together, ethnic groups there as one. And what were they doing? Talking about themselves? No, they were singing about the glory of God. Look with me real quick of Revelation chapter 5. There we are. And they sang a new song, Revelation 5:9. Saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals. They're singing to Jesus. For you were slain. When was Jesus slain? He was killed on the cross for our sins. They're singing about it in heaven, man. Look what they say. You were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God. What kind of people? People from every tribe and language and people and nation. That's God's purpose in the earth. That was Paul's purpose in the earth. And that should be the church's purpose in the earth. Amen? And it should be your purpose in the earth. God's glory through Christ in the nation. Man, if that's the heartbeat of heaven, shouldn't it be our heartbeat on earth? Didn't Jesus teach us to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? What they're getting excited about in heaven, that's what we should be getting excited about on earth. So this morning, that's what I set before you. This vision from Paul's heart, it was God's heart. It ought to be the church's heart and your heart. Your family, your household, your marriage, you as an individual. Your children, God's glory to the nations through the gospel. That should be the driving ambition of our lives. So understand this morning God's heart. We must be a people of gospel ambition who give ourselves to this gospel mission. It's going to require action, guys. I want to close with John Piper's quote from his missions book called Let the Nations Be Glad. He has said very beautifully what I'm trying to get across this morning. And I want you to just let your eyes fall on this quote and think about it. Piper writes, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exists because worship doesn't. Now stop right there. Quit reading for a second. What does he mean? Missions exists because worship doesn't. He means there's places out there where they're not worshiping God because they've never heard of Him. And so the church has the mission to go out. Why? For the sake of missions itself? No. For the sake of God's glory. As Paul wrote in today's text, there's places where Jesus is not named. There's tribes, there's people groups that don't know that Jesus died on the cross for our sin and that He rose from the grave. Piper says, missions is not the goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over, and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. It is a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. In other words, there's going to be a day when this church has no more people to reach with the gospel. When we get to heaven, there's no more unreached people groups in heaven. Missions will end, but worship will abide forever. We will never stop worshiping God. In other words, the glory of God is the highest purpose of God. It was the highest purpose of the apostles. It's the highest purpose of the church. And so this morning, my question to you is the glory of God the highest purpose of you? This calls for a response of our hearts. You know, this morning after you've heard this message and you leave this place, you may go right back to pouring your life out for lesser things. The difference is now you've heard. Now you know. God brought you here. He wants you to know that He created you to live for His glory. And He's going to hold you accountable for what you do with this life. It's not your life. It's His. He made it. He bought it at the cross. Paul said that our body is not our own, but we were purchased by Christ. Have you given yourself to Him? Yeah, preacher, I prayed that prayer. I've become a Christian. Yeah, okay. Are you living for the Lord? Not every one of us is going to be a preacher, a pastor. God may want you right in the job that you're doing right now. I mean, we need plumbers. Amen. We need doctors and school teachers. We need all the different jobs. But your life will change when you realize how to do that job for the glory of God. To live it out for His glory. That is the call this morning. Look at Paul's text. See the driving ambition in his heart. You too can have a driving ambition for the Lord. I want to encourage you, if you're not there, repent this morning. That means turn away from your sin. Look to God. Just confess to God with simple words. He hears, He understands. Something like, God, I have not lived for Your glory. I've been busy living for me. And today I understand that You created me for You. To know You and love You and worship You and serve You. I am created for Your glory, but forgive me, I have lived for my glory. Is that a prayer that you need to pray this morning? Maybe some of you need to pray, Father, I have been wasting my life on lesser things. And today, You have gotten a hold of my heart. I see it in Your Scriptures. I'm convinced that You want me to live for Your glory. To surrender all I have to You. Help me do that. Look to the cross this morning. If you've been wasting your life, if you've been living for yourself, if you've been living for maybe good things, but just not God, this morning look to the cross. See that Jesus died in your place, bearing your sins. Yeah, the bad things you've done, but also the good things you've not done. Amen? Jesus took our failures on Himself at the cross. He bore the shame of our guilt as if He were us. This is the gospel. This is the message. God sent His Son. And He died for sinners on the cross and paid our price. He bore the wrath of God, the anger against us for our sins. Jesus took that anger at the cross. He finished the work. He died, He was buried, and He rose from the grave. God raised Him in victory. And when we look to Him in faith, we are alive. When we bow the knee in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ, we become His people. And we can know God and enjoy Him forever. This morning, we've seen Paul's heart, which is an overflow of God's heart, and it's the goal of the church's heart. So as we hear God speaking to us right now through His Word, we got to ask ourselves, what about my heart? What about my family's heart? What is your family living for? What about the heart of my marriage? What are you and your spouse living for? What is our ambition? What are we passionate about? For what great cause are we living? We must have an inward vision for the church. We must have an outward vision of mission. And we must do all of this, everything we do, with an upward vision of worship and praise and glory to God in all things. Let's pray.